It's a State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Across the country, restaurant jobs remain well below pre-COVID staffing levels, and staffing up for a big summer season will be a challenge. That's forecasting from the National Restaurant Association. Do you work in a restaurant? How have you managed in the pandemic? Are you back at work? What's changed? 800-642-1234. Democratic Representative Francesca Hong represents a Madison district and was elected to the Assembly last year. She's a chef who co-owns Morris Ramen in Madison. Representative Hong, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Hi, Kate. Thanks so much for having me.
Good morning. What are your impressions now in the legislature? What are your impressions so far on how it operates?
I'm not quite sure how well it's operating, but I'm very much grounded in the community work that's going on. Have a much more profound respect for all of our local government leaders, and really just trying to do my best to make sure that as many voices are heard in the Capitol as I can.
You know, including your voice, a question we've posed to all the newly first-term lawmakers recently is, do you feel welcome in the State House by other lawmakers? Do you feel like you have a voice, or do you have to fight to be heard?
I do feel welcomed by quite a few of my colleagues, but I also feel very discriminated against by others. I think that being a woman of color, navigating different spaces, you have to sometimes think if this is some place where I have to focus more on my gender or do I have to focus more on my race? And that doesn't change just because I'm working in the Capitol. I'm thankful to go in with a very strong freshman class. We've got a great sense of camaraderie and we are very supportive of one another, as well as members of the caucus. I will say that I've experienced both racism and sexism, and it's unfortunate, but a reality for many women of color that navigate both professional and personal spaces.
You've experienced racism and sexism. Would you, care to elaborate at all?
Not at this time. I think a lot of it can be seen were microaggressions, but they're conversations that I hope that I can continue to have and really make sure to, let folks know that this type of behavior won't be tolerated, but that I want to speak more with action and make sure that other voices are heard as well.
You have a background working in restaurants, co-owning a restaurant. Do you feel that the interests of service employees are clearly represented in the legislature?
No, because I don't think those who represent service workers would say that workers need to, I think they're framing it very poorly. And instead of recognizing that we have a crisis in not in worker shortage, but in wages, to say that the Wisconsin workforce is not doing everything in their power to try to go back to work, it's insulting, it's discriminatory, and to be perfectly honest, I have colleagues in the legislature who continue to punish poor people and incentivize the rich, and that's not how we move this state forward.
How would you go about moving forward with a mind on who are, frontline workers who are maybe minimum wage? What do you see as a path forward to supporting these type of workers?
We must increase the minimum wage. It's been over 12 years. The living wage right now, with the increasing the workforce, we should be at closer to $24 an hour. All workers have a right to collectively bargain. All right, workers have a right to voice their opinion in the workplace. And really, if you think about it, the management, the operations of our workforce is most dependent on the workers. They're key to any sort of workforce ecosystem. And if we want to keep that ecosystem strong, if we want a stronger economy, all focus needs to be on care and rights of our workers.
Restaurant and bar employees have been some of the hardest hit economically. What are you hearing from your colleagues in the industry about how they're doing?
Many of those who lost their work, lost their jobs in the service industry, weren't able to apply for unemployment. The Wisconsin unemployment system is one of the most difficult to navigate. And when you're working many different part-time jobs for different businesses, it becomes even more challenging. And so for those who have been suffering, who have been trying to find work, who have been trying to find benefits for the past year, to now be further insulted by saying that this is a workforce shortage. It's really difficult, and it makes it difficult to continue to operate businesses when we have a workforce, when we have workers who have been treated so poorly in the past. And so what I think we need really is a collective reimagining and knowing that the system has been broken for quite some time. And as an employer, you can look at cutting costs by being able to not having high turnover, by caring for your workers, by making sure that not only do they have a living wage, but they have access to benefits and other resources. And we need to make sure to level the playing field, that all businesses and bad actors don't have, all businesses continue to work on a level playing field so that both workers and businesses can be protected.
Yeah, you talk about the unemployment system. There was that backlog early on in the pandemic. There's debate in the legislature over how to fix it, but there's also this debate as to whether people who are receiving unemployment benefits are not looking for work because they can receive more money via unemployment. What do you think of that debate?
I don't think it's a debate we should be having, considering if someone is able to make more on unemployment and take care of their families and receive these benefits, then the businesses that were operating with lower wages most likely should not have been operating in the first place. If you can't care for your workers and you can't care for your employees, you probably shouldn't have them.
We're talking with State Representative Francesca Hong, first-term Democrat in the Assembly representing a Madison district, and we're talking about the restaurant industry. You can join in. Do you work in the restaurant industry? What would help you in terms of the state in providing resources at this time? 800-642-1234. You have a proposal that calls for an end to the tipped minimum wage, which is now $2.33 an hour. For employees younger than age 20, the wage can be as low as $2.13 an hour. What would your proposal do?
So this bill that I introduced with Senator Chris Larson would eliminate the tips of minimum wage. So this is $2.33 and $2.13 an hour. And it raises it to the current minimum wage, which is still too low, but it raises it to $7.25 an hour. This will give some businesses kind of a way to kind of ease into raising wages. We know that many of the costs that go into operating restaurants have also increased, whether that be your to-go boxes, some of the services that are being offered, maintenance, et cetera. And so in order to slowly meet some of those costs without having to raise prices right away, this bill would allow for those to not have to be reliant on, am I going to go in and make $50 in tips today or $100, or am I going to make $10? It gives people a little bit more stability. But again, it's not enough, but this is a good first step that we can take.
What happened at your restaurant? Using that as a case example here, what happened at your restaurant when you went to $15 an hour wages for employees?
We're very fortunate to have a strong and stable team we've had very little turnover since we opened. We've taken a lot of care. We weren't able to start with $15 minimum wage, but we were able to offer it this past year. We have had very little turnover, and to be honest, we've had very little trouble finding new employees as we get ready to reopen our patio and reopen for service.
Could paying tipped workers the standard minimum wage, would that hurt some financially by reducing their income from tips?
It depends on the restaurant.
Okay.
It depends on the type of restaurant. It really does. I think you'll find with some of the more fast casual restaurants that folks will see an increase to their take-home pay. I think for some in the industry, particularly bartenders or servers who are more in fine dining, seeing the tips split across the different sectors, the different departments in the restaurant, you might see a lower of take-home pay for a weekly basis, but you, again, are adding to the stability, right? We want to make sure that we're making our industry more of a career and not just a stepping stone for folks. And if we want to do that, we have to be competitive with higher wages.
And it's interesting, too, because as you well know, the back of the house has to be aligned with front of house. They have to work together. It's not just one or the other.
Right. It's very important that we understand that every single person in the restaurant ecosystem as well is an essential worker. And so regardless if you're washing, the person who is washing dishes is just as important as the person, the first person you see when you walk into the restaurant as a host. And it's incredibly important that when you're in a high stress job as a restaurant, when you're putting yourself last, when you're centering the customer that's coming in, that you have a team that supports you to do that. And if we can create that environment even more by making sure that we have stable wages for everyone, you know, it becomes less emotional labor. There's not as much emotional stress that goes into the work, and hopefully we can become a much more sustainable industry.
How might customers notice or not notice whether a restaurant is, you know, paying minimum wage or the sub minimum?
I think it's absolutely okay for customers to ask. And I think you'll notice if there are service charges on the receipt, restaurants have to market themselves. Now you see stronger social media programs. People are being very, very open about, what they're supporting, what their wages are. And I think that trend needs to continue. I think restaurants need to be transparent about their workplace practices, and customers really should be looking at where they're dining and if their dining places are the ones that want to support them because they support their workers.
We're talking with Democratic Representative Francesca Hong of Madison. Should the tipped minimum wage be eliminated, or do you think that would lower tips and take-home pay for servers and other tipped employees? Join in the future of the sub-minimum wage, 800-642-1234. Back in a minute for more State Cap with Representative Hong here on the Ideas Network. It's the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're talking about the future of the sub-minimum wage and a bill introduced by Representative Francesca Hong last month to eliminate it. If the bill succeeds, Wisconsin would join seven other states, including our neighbor Minnesota, by the way, requiring employers to pay tipped employees full state minimum wage before tips. That's state-by-state analysis from the Labor Department. Are you a restaurant owner? How would your business be affected by this bill? Do you worry you'd lose your best wait staff? Be part of this, 800-642-1234. And Representative Francesca Hong is with us for 10 more minutes. Representative Hong, what have your fellow lawmakers said about this bill as you show it to them and you look for support?
Many lawmakers are quite supportive, especially in the Democratic caucus. They know that a lot... The restaurant industry, like many industries, has been built on the exploitation of workers and institutional racism. And I think a big step that we can take in terms of combating this systemic racism is really making sure to eliminate practices like tipping and try to figure out ways that we can constructively rebuild the industry to be more equitable for folks.
Laura from Madison called in, couldn't stay with us. Laura says they know rural people mm-hmm. in rural areas who never tip because they have no idea people don't make the $7.25 minimum wage. Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm. Representative Hong, what do you think of that?
I think it's incredibly unfortunate. Again, inadequate wages and the fact that we're exploiting people to be able to do a job that I think so many often don't think about the workers, right? Because you go to a restaurant to have a wonderful experience, and that's really our job is to make sure that experience is a good one. That we're connecting people with food and a good social atmosphere. But at what cost? And then regardless of we're in rural areas or urban areas, we need to be treating all workers with dignity and fair wages. And it doesn't matter the job that you're doing; each one is deserving of a fair wage.
Let's look at minimum wage for a moment. Governor Evers has proposed raising it to $10.50 by mm-hmm. 2023. He would also create a task force to look at raising the minimum wage to $15 an hour eventually. Do you think these mm-hmm. proposals go far enough?
No. We know that with the rate of productivity, our minimum wage right now should be closer to $24 an hour. We haven't raised the minimum wage in over 12 years. If we are going to have a robust economy, if we're going to invest in workers and make sure that we're investing in our communities, that has to start with wages. And establishing a task force, while I'm sure is well-intentioned, is not going to be enough and is not going to provide the meaningful action that we need. And if it doesn't happen at the state level, I anticipate it to happen at the federal level, and we'll be continuing to push for that to happen as well.
Let's go to Tim now, who's joining us from Mount Sterling. Hi, Tim. What would you like to add on this issue?
Good morning. So the senator said that she's paying $15 an hour right now to her team members, but she's calling for what she thinks should be $24. So earlier she mentioned that if people aren't paying higher than a minimum wage, they're not running a sustainable business. So my question is, if you think it should be $24, why are you not paying $24 right now?
I didn't say that I think it should be 24 right now. I appreciate the question very much. I would like for us to build up to that. It's not something that we can kind of turn on the switch overnight and make everyone be on board with it. We know that some of these things take time, which I think was the thought that the governor had put in to his budget proposal. However, we know that that's what it should have been had we followed the rate of productivity. And so what this has done is created vast income inequality. And so those who have been making less continue to make less, and really it gets more and more difficult for folks to be able to access jobs with better wages. And we want the restaurant industry to become one of those industries that where people can access better wages. And so I think if we continue to really exploit workers, especially with a subminimum tipped wage, and to rely on tips, it's not going to be sustainable for a thriving restaurant industry. And we know that a thriving restaurant industry is what many of our communities want.
Opponents say raising the minimum wage, they've called it a job killer that would hurt workers, lead to more automation. How do you respond to those arguments?
You know, automation is one of those that I think is kind of a separate conversation to have. In the restaurant industry, we know that we're seeing more people go towards fast casual, which for me does bring up some red flags in terms of us not having to rely on workers. But I think when we talk about being a job killer, we have to step back and remember that, you know, a lot of what we did what happened with the pandemic is that a lot of these folks who were working lower wage, minimum wage jobs, either they still had to continue to go to work in very hazardous working conditions, or they were out of work altogether. And to expect all of a sudden, you know, when we had women leave the workforce by the millions, when you had lower wage, especially service industry workers, not have access to benefits, to all of a sudden have the capacity and the infrastructure within their homes to be able to just come back to work, that's not the reality. But the reality of what we can do as employers and as policymakers is continue to protect and create better working conditions, to invest in workers so we can have a stronger economy. It doesn't make sense that we invest or we allow rich people to invest in larger properties or larger developments, and that we can't, as policymakers, invest in people. And that's what we need to do to be able to move forward, to make sure that we're not, you know, hitting the dangers of automation, and that we continue to make a strong workforce for the restaurant industry.
If you're just joining us, we're talking with State Representative Francesca Hong, a first-term Democrat who represents a Madison district. Switching gears here, you're co-sponsoring an economic justice bill of rights. What would this bill do?
This is a resolution that is a commitment to the people of Wisconsin, that we recognize as Democrats that we do not have the majority. We don't have the power that we would like in terms of policymaking, but we do know that that power still rests with the people of Wisconsin. So it's our commitment to them that we know, and this is a strong message, right? I think it's very important that as a caucus we think about what our message is to the people of Wisconsin, to let them know that regardless of the power and the politics that the Republicans continue to play, that we are on their side. So it is a commitment that we know that every Wisconsinite has a right to clean water, to affordable housing, to affordable health care, to high quality education, to live free of discrimination, to high quality, clean public transit, and the right to collectively bargain. These are the commitments that we are making to the people that we're going to continue to fight for as long as we're in office.
So 10 principles, it seems like a pact almost. What is the practical effect of having them enacted as law?
So again, this is then showing that, you know, economic security is so key for folks to have agency to be thriving in their communities. And we know that in order to get economic security, we have to bring justice into the equation. We have to bring climate justice into the equation. And so once they're enacted, it really is to provides us with this framework, right? This vision that each one of these pillars and these commitments is what Wisconsinites need to be able to have the agency to move forward as citizens and not be kind of beholden to the power and the politics that a lot of our Republicans are playing right now.
One of the principles is access to health care. The governor has called a special session for tomorrow seeking the legislature to expand Medicaid. Republicans have continually responded to this as a no. What do you expect will happen tomorrow?
I don't expect much. I believe the plan is to gavel in and gavel out. And it's a damn shame that not only do lawmakers in Wisconsin not want over 90,000 people to have access to quality health care, but the fact is they're putting $1.6 billion that we would have access to be able to provide funding for so many needed programs in this state to combat homelessness, to make sure that we're mitigating PFAS for a Hmong cultural center, that we're building the cultural literacy that we want our students to have, you know, the job security that we could help people get, the advances that we need in so many of the agencies that Republicans have defunded over the past 10 years, that access to that money is being obstructed and blocked by colleagues and putting Wisconsin lives and livelihoods at risk is quite atrocious.
What have you heard in the last few seconds in your district in terms of expanding Medicaid?
There are, you know, as someone who was on Badger Care when I was pregnant, as someone who knows how important these programs are, especially to some of those in the service industry, who have not had access to healthcare in the past, it's a vital service that needs to be expanded and needs to be reworked a little bit too. We know that Badger Care is not the stopgap fix-all for everything, but again, to deny people healthcare in a time where we know that just because the pandemic is you know, slowly fit going into a different stage, that doesn't mean that we can't be investing in healthcare for all Wisconsinites right now.
Representative Hong, thank you for joining us.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me, Kate.
State Representative Francesca Hong is a first-term representative in this assembly from Madison and a chef and co-owns Morris Ramen in Madison. Just ahead, we talk with a veteran food writer about her new cookbook and her efforts to embrace local food sources. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is the State Capitol Report on The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.